Welcome to Blue Crew Diaries, an Umpire podcast. My name is Daryl, and I will be your host as we take a look behind the mask, so to speak, sharing stories, insights, and experiences from the unique perspective of the baseball umpire. In this episode, we finish off the regular season and talk about how to deal with negative comments from players and coaches. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, drop me a line at bluecrewdiaries@gmail.com. So if you're ready, grab your indicator and plate brush, and let's hit the field. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Blue Crew Diaries and Umpire Podcast. Happy Independence Day. It is July 4th. The morning of that I am recording this. So happy 4th of July if you live in the United States. If you do not live in the United States, happy Friday. Hope you have a good weekend planned. So, as always, check out the Little League Umpire Registry, littleleagueumpire.org. Get signed up for that. They've got educational stuff on there, from Rules Challenge to mechanics videos to pretty much everything in between. So be sure to sign up for that. If you are working your tournament games, check out the California District 4 Rules Clinics on YouTube. They have a couple that are specific to tournament time and the road to Williamsport. So be sure to check those out. Up here in the state of Maine, we are into the road to Williamsport. The first week of games are complete. Obviously cut a little bit short due to the 4th of July holiday. Two teams have already been eliminated from my local district tournament. And, I actually got to work one of those games, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But as far as the finish of the regular season, I don't think it went too awful bad. My local league had what I would call a city tournament amongst the four teams in majors for the league, and thankfully, I was able to work all four games. I worked I think we had four games. Do we have four games? One, two, three, four. Yeah, four games, I believe. Four or five. I honestly don't remember. If I was smart, I would have looked it up ahead of time, but, well, you know me. So I got to work all of the games. I believe the first, let me look here. One, two, three, four, five games. That's what we had. So, the first four games, I got to work with my favorite partner, Darren. That fourth game, we had a third umpire with us. And then, the championship game, Darren was not available. He already had prior commitments to other things. So I ended up being asked to work that game with three other main District 3 umpires who I had never worked with before. That was pretty interesting considering the plate umpire. If any of you are Little League umpires up here in the state of Maine or have taken any training down in Bristol, Connecticut, the East Region headquarters, you may know the name Troy Richardson. Troy Richardson was the plate umpire for the city championship game. Honestly, I never even thought I would meet Troy Richardson, let alone work a game with him. So that was an experience in itself. Troy was a great, great guy, good umpire. He really, even during the game, He saw a couple things that I was doing that he thought, hey, maybe I can, talk to him and, really get him on board with what Little League is teaching now as far as mechanics and things like that. And even during the game, he came over a couple of times and said, hey, I noticed you're doing this. Try to do it this way. One of the things was the way that I call time. I am not really a loud individual when I'm out on the field. The first year or two I was umpiring, I was actually told, dude, you need to speak up because people can't hear you. So when I call time, I'm so used to hands up above my head, like full arm extension, time. Okay, hands a little more than shoulder width apart, and probably get my hands up about a foot above my head to call time, make it blatantly obvious so everybody can see it, even if they can't hear it. And apparently what Little League is teaching now is instead of going way out and up high, bring your hands right out in front of you like you're trying to stop a bus. That's literally the way Troy explained it to me. He said, you're trying to stop a bus. So hands out in front of you, probably about eye level, maybe a little bit lower, and about shoulder width apart, and just bang, straight out like you're trying to stop a bus, time. That is how you do it these days. And he took time in between innings to teach me that. There were a couple other things that he didn't take issue with. He just thought, hey, maybe I should mention to him, if there's like a pickoff attempt or something like that, and it's not even really a play. I was working third base, and runner comes in, slides in, and the ball isn't even thrown to third to try to get the out. For whatever reason, I would stand there, and I would still just give a real simple safe mechanic. Well, obviously, everybody knows he's safe because the ball was never even thrown down there. So you don't need to signal on that. That was one of the other things that that Troy gave me. He says, just, if it's blatantly obvious, it's like a foul ball that goes flying up and over the backstop and over the tower and lands half in the road. As the plate umpire, do you really need to signal foul? Everybody, Stevie Wonder could see that this ball went foul. So you really don't need to do anything with that. Oh, let's see. So that game was interesting. The game prior to that, I did have one slight issue. This was the three umpire game with myself on third, Darren behind the plate. And I honestly now can't remember the name of the first base umpire. But he was someone I hadn't worked with yet. He did good. He did good over at first. Had some good calls. We were fine. Until we get into, I believe it was the fifth inning. And I'm over in C, and I don't remember exactly what happened. I think there was a runner on first, and there was a line drive to the outfield or something like that. I'm trying to remember the exact play, which I can't remember, so I apologize. So the runner from first took off when he was supposed to, when the ball reached the batter. He made sure it wasn't going to be caught in the outfield, and he took off running. He rounded second, made it into third. And the batter runner ended up with a double. So he's now standing on second. Time is called by the defensive manager. And he comes out to change out his pitcher. During this time, he replaces the pitcher, and then he goes over and he starts talking to Darren about something. I don't know what he's talking to Darren about. He's talking to him about something. And I hear something about, so it just needs to be live, right? I'm still not making the connection at this point as to what the hell is going on here. So, warm-up pitches for the new pitcher are completed. Darren puts the ball back in play. Everybody's in position, ready to go. Darren calls play. And I hear the manager yell out to the pitcher, "Step off the rubber." I still don't know what's going on. Of course, this has been, you know, a couple of minutes delay and just standing around while the pitcher gets switched out and the warm-up pitches and everything. So the manager yells to the pitcher a couple of times, "Step off the rubber." He finally steps off the rubber. He says, "Okay, now throw to second." He throws to second. And what ended up happening was they were trying to appeal that the runner, who is now on third base, did not touch second when he ran by. And everybody is now looking at me on this appeal. Because technically, I should know this. I should have been looking at the touch when he came around. But again, you know, this has been like 2-3 minutes at this point. I honestly don't remember even looking to see if he touched at second. But that wasn't even what was going through my head. The manager is yelling out to me, did he touch second? And I'm looking at him, and I'm looking at second base, and I'm thinking to myself, what do you mean, did he touch second? He's standing on it, for crying out loud. I wasn't thinking they were appealing the runner that's now at third, missing second. I, for whatever reason, probably because I'm an idiot, I'm thinking they're asking about the runner that's currently on second. Well, he's literally standing on the base. What do you mean, did he miss it? I'm completely out of the loop at this point. And everybody's looking at me, and Darren's trying to ask me, you know, he's trying to tell me, you know, they're appealing whether the runner missed second or not. And I'm like, I don't know. This was, you know, this might as well have been forever ago. Like, I don't know. I can't tell you. Luckily, the umpire, and I apologize for not remembering your name, dude, if you're listening, I'm sorry. That whole week is just one big blur. But luckily, he had been paying attention, and he saw that runner touch second when he went by. 100%, yes, he did touch. From the angle I had, he did touch. So that first base umpire kind of saved my bacon a little bit there. But I didn't really win too many brownie points with that manager. And the other problem is that manager is also the board member that was kind of maybe overseeing the umpiring this year. So I did not win any brownie points with him on that one, I don't believe. I think he may have been a little ticked off at me. for that one. But, you know, is what it is, I guess. So the fourth, or the last game, the fifth game with the four umpire crew, I kind of got beat up a little bit on that one as well. And here's what I mean. Third inning, runner coming into third on, I believe it was on a pass ball. The ball is thrown to the third baseman. Third baseman comes in, leaves an open lane to the base for the runner, gets the ball, brings the glove down. I am right on top of this ball, right on this play. I'm literally standing there at a 45-degree angle to the bag on the outside. I'm literally standing in foul territory. I'm at a 45-degree angle, and I'm about maybe 5 feet from the play. The runner comes in, slides, and the fielder's glove just barely caught the top of the lead foot as the runner slid in. I punched the runner out. Not too enthusiastically. I watched the play. I made sure that the third baseman had the ball and there was voluntary release. Yes, I saw the tag. I came up, hammer, he's out. The offensive manager, or coach, is standing in the third base coach's box. Literally only a couple of feet away from me, to my right. The runner never argued. He just stood up, ran back to the dugout. I came up, I gave the hammer, I said he's out, and the manager looks at me and says, "Oh, come on, really, Daryl?" All pissed off. And then he says, "Honestly, it wasn't even that close." Well, you are literally standing only a couple of feet away from me, and we're both within 5 to 6 feet of this play. Apparently, you didn't see something that I saw. Come to find out, after the game, when we were doing our post game in the parking lot, Troy Richardson was looking. He saw the runner go on the pass ball, and once he located the ball, he looked down my way, and he saw the glove just catch the top of the lead foot of the runner. He told me that. He said, "You were in perfect position for that play, and you nailed it." He says, "You nailed the call. You saw the tag." He says, "Just barely tagged him." He says, "But you saw the tag. Your timing was perfect. You were in the absolute perfect position to make that call. Very well done." So Troy saw the tag from over 60 feet, and yet the manager didn't see it from six. Whatever. A couple days later, a little side note, I found out that there was a photographer there that night. And I don't know how he did this, but the photographer caught the exact instant that the tag was made on that play. And I downloaded that picture. In case anybody had any questions, I have the picture of the tag. Pardon me. So yes, The tag was on. So that play just kind of, ended with that. It wasn't really a huge thing. I know the manager or the coach didn't like it. I don't know what to tell you. Also, that coach is the league president. So it is a little more nerve-wracking when you're making calls out there and excuse me, the calls, the coaches and the managers are members of the board that you work for. That kind of gets me on edge a little bit, but I don't let it bother me. I'm going to call this game as close to fair and down the middle as I possibly can. I don't care who's out there. It really doesn't matter. Now we get to the sixth. Sixth inning. The home team is ahead, but the visiting team, if you want to call them that, all from the same league, they were down, I believe, by 3 runs. And top of the sixth, they start making a comeback. 2 outs, runner on second, pass ball. Now, this is the other team from the one I just had the issue with a couple innings ago. Third base coach tells the runner, get here. Even he admitted after he should have had the runner stay at second because he didn't realize the catcher was going to get the ball and get it down to third as quick as he did. So a runner comes in, slides, there's a tag, runner's out. Clearly, runner's out. This one wasn't even really close. I punched the kid out. The coach in the third base coach's box, he starts telling the player, that's on me. I shouldn't have told you to run. That's my bad. As he's saying that, the player, or the runner, isn't even paying attention to him. He sits up, because he slid in, slid in feet first. He sits up and is sitting on the ground and he looks at me and he starts trying to tell me that the third baseman was in the base path. He was in the base path. How can I be out? So immediately I start replaying the sequence of events. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if the third baseman was in your base path, you would have taken him out when you slid into third base. And you didn't. You slid into third base, and your foot made contact with the base. So therefore, he wasn't exactly in your way. You came in full tilt, like full speed, and slid normally like you'd been doing all game. So he didn't impede your progress at all. And when you came in for the slide and he got into his final position, he had the baseball. But he still left you a clear lane to the base, evidenced by the fact that even right now, your foot is touching the dang base. So, nope. I don't think he was in your base path. Then came the comment. And the title for this episode. I start to walk away because game is over. I start to walk away, and this same kid all upset, still sitting on the ground, looks at me with tears in his eyes, and in a shaky, crackling voice says, "You have been horrible all season." I just walked off the field with the rest of the crew. And the second base umpire came over to me and he says, just after we had walked through the fence, he says, What was that kid's problem? And I said, "Well, he was trying to say that the third baseman was in his base path." And this umpire says, "Well, no, he wasn't. Even if he was, he had the ball already." I said, "Well, that was my conclusion also." I said, "That's why I called him out." But just that comment. "You've been horrible all season." That game was on June 20th, 2025. So, as of the recording of this episode, that was 2 weeks ago. Exactly. That comment still bothers me. It honestly does. And the reason it still bothers me is because if this kid is willing to say that to my face, how many other players, managers, coaches, parents think that I do a bad job? I still haven't gotten over that. I mean, I've taken crap. I'll be nice and use a politically correct term. I've taken crap and grumblings from coaches. I've taken it from parents. I've even heard players chirping a little bit. But this was the very first time that a player turned and looked at me right dead in the face and told me that I was a horrible umpire. And I have been horrible all season. And the fact that he said all season is what gets to me, because it sounds to me like he has picked up that I'm falling short as an umpire and I'm not doing a good enough job. But he's been noticing this all year long. So if he's been noticing it all year, I'm fairly certain other people have noticed it too. But he's the only one that wanted to say something. So I don't know. I'm not really 100% sure what I'm going to do. Part of me says quit. Part of me says quit. I really don't want to quit. I enjoy umpiring. But yeah, part of me is saying quit because obviously, you know, he thinks you're a bad umpire, so other people must think you're a bad umpire. I did reach out. I sent an email to the board member that was kind of overseeing the umpires this year, asking for his opinion. And yeah, it's been a few days. I haven't heard back yet, so I don't know if my email went to his spam folder or he just decided, screw this guy. I don't even want to talk to him. I don't know. But yeah, I did get a phone call this past Monday, the 1st of July, the 30th of June, from the Maine District 3 umpire-in-chief. And he said, hey, we've got Old Town's first game in the District 3 Road to Williamsport tournament. The game is being played in Old Town tomorrow night at 5:30, July 1st. And I need a base umpire. He says, so-and-so, who had been assisting with the assigning for our league all season, Dennis, he gave me your number, said you've been, umpiring there all year. Any chance you can help me out? So I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it. And I went, you know what? If they really don't want me there, there's only one way to find out. And that's to go do it. So I worked that game. And only had one call that I mean, honestly, I could have been in a lot better position for. I was over in C because we had a runner on third and a runner on first. Runner on first decided to try to steal. They threw it down and he slid in. I saw a tag. I punched him out. And his manager came out and wanted a second opinion. And the plate umpire shut that down immediately. Nope, it's a judgment call. He said the runner's out, runner's out. Which I thought was kind of strange. Because all season, somebody comes out and says, hey, Blue, can you, go see what your partner had or get a second opinion or, go get help on that play? Yeah, sure. Now I'll go over to get together with my partner, get the information that I need from them, and then make my final call. Yeah, that didn't happen on this one. Nope. It's a judgment call. You can't argue it. I personally don't see it as arguing. He simply is asking, he doesn't think that the tag was there before his runner touched the base. He knew that I was in a bad position from the C spot, the C position. I did come up onto the dirt and get as close as I can to it, but I was still on the wrong side. I should have gone, hindsight being 20/20, I probably should have rotated to my left around towards the, kind of stayed outside, but tried to get around to the other side of the base because that's where the tag was going to be. So I was not in good position for that. If we were working a three umpire crew, then the first base umpire, probably would have been all over that and it would have been a non-issue because they would have had the call. But we only had the two of us. So that caused a little bit of little bit of tension when the plate umpire is saying, no, it's his call. He called him out, so he's out. And then the defensive manager is, he's standing in the dugout door going, no, he can't argue it. It's a judgment call. And I'm looking, and this is the manager for, you know, my local league. The same one that had the issue during the championship game that said that the play wasn't even close. And he's just looking at me like, come on, dude, really? Same guy. He's saying, oh, no, it's a judgment call. He can't argue it. It's like, well, you've come out and tried to argue judgment calls with me all season. Now, all of a sudden, you can't? Yeah, come on, dude. But that was the only issue. Game went fairly well. Yeah, and it was very interesting because it was the very first actual Little League tournament game that I have ever umpired in 3 years. So it was kind of different having, you know, walking up to the field and seeing a table set up with a canopy and all the pitch count sheets and the clickers and everything. It was kind of weird. And then after we got done with the game, then we had to go back to that table and the plate umpire, they had to verify the pitch counts and how many days rest each pitcher now needs and this and that and the other thing. And then he had to sign off on it. And it was different. It really was. Kind of gave a little more of a big game feel. You know what I mean? But yeah, it wasn't too horrible. Definitely, I would definitely do a tournament game again. It was kind of fun. So that is pretty much it. Where we go from here, I'm not sure. I may have a 10U or an 8-10 game next week. I don't know yet. Schedule is just kind of all over the place. But it may be interesting because the 8-10 game is supposed to be played on Monday on the same field at the same time as the majors game. So we'll see what happens. They may postpone one of the games, or they may move one of the games to a different site. I don't know. But that brings us to our question of the month. And the question this month is the following. When is a catcher required to have their mask on? When is a catcher required to have their mask/helmet on? Should be a pretty simple question, right? A lot of managers have no idea of the rules surrounding this. So that is going to bring this episode to a close. I apologize for my rambling as usual. I'm sure half of you have tuned out by now. But if you have not, I want to thank you very much for sticking with me. We will, as the season comes to a close, we will, I don't know. I'm almost thinking about maybe the rest of the year. Obviously, I'll probably be talking about some Little League World Series stuff once we get to that. The Junior League East Regional Tournament is going to be held right here in Maine, in Bangor at Mansfield Stadium. Coming up in just a couple of weeks, I believe. So I'm hoping that I can get over there. I only live 5 minutes from the stadium, so I kind of hope I can get over there and catch some of those games, just spectate, watch the umpire crews, you know, and who knows, might pick up a thing or two. So yeah, I may throughout the rest of the year, kind of turn this almost like into a rules clinic podcast. Every episode, just pull a rule out of the rule book and just go real in depth with it. If you would like to see that, let me know, bluecrewdiaries@gmail.com. This episode will also obviously be on YouTube, so if you see it on YouTube, you can leave a comment there. Really appreciate everybody for listening, and hopefully you will continue to do so. So again, if you are in the United States, happy Independence Day. If you're in the rest of the world, happy Friday. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you on the diner.